Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
What I want to talk about today is really linked to that in a way, because I think your greatness is connected to your fruitfulness. The thing that God spoke to Adam and Eve, the first command that he gave them, is to be fruitful and multiply. And so I think that the greatness that's on the inside of you is connected to the fruitfulness that's on the inside of you. And here's the thing about fruitfulness, is that fruitfulness has to have a forward trajectory to it. I don't know if you've ever tried to eat old fruit. Yeah, you have. I heard that. When we got back from our amazing trip to Australia, I was preparing the boys' backpacks to get ready to go back to school, and I reached into one of them, and I felt the top of a Ziploc bag. And before I pulled it out, I knew what I can hear some of you already knew. I went, oh no. I pulled out old fruit that had been sitting in a Ziploc bag inside of a backpack for 3 weeks. Oh yes. I can't even tell you what fruit it used to be. I had to guess based on what fruits I knew we had bought before we had left, what possibly was left inside of that Ziploc bag, because old fruit is absolutely no good to us. Fruit is always future focused. My message for you today is that my fruitfulness is in my future. Can you just say to someone close to you, my fruitfulness is in my future? And to talk about this, I would love for you to turn to the book of Acts for me, the very beginning of the book of Acts. We're going to start in Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at three different portions of scripture, two in Acts, one in John, to talk about the apostle Peter. Peter, who is the chief among the apostles. Jesus has placed him and established him and appointed him as leader of the 12 apostles that he has left to establish his church. See, from the crowd, Jesus called his disciples, those who said, I have become a follower of Jesus and who I have committed to living a life in alignment with who he says I should be. And from the disciples, Jesus called his apostles. And from his apostles, he called the 12. The 12 apostles, in a very intentional way, Jesus called to be a new representation, a mirror, and a declaration that something new has come. Because before this, the founding pillars of the people of God were the 12 tribes of Israel, who came from the 12 sons of Israel. And 12 in biblical numerology tells us of divine authority and divine establishment. So by no accidental measure, Jesus says, I am calling 12 apostles as a statement to you that I am establishing something new in this season. That there is a new order, that there is a new way, that there is a new covenant that I am now establishing. And from the 12 that he has called from the apostles, and from the apostles that he has called from the disciples, and from the disciples that he has called from the crowd, he pulls out Peter and says, Peter, you will be the leader of these, the rock on which I will build my church. Can I tell you that there is a false narrative that when Jesus came, it was the great flattening of society and that sameness became the order and the message of Jesus, and that his message was that we are all the same and that there is no longer distinction and rank and order, and that this message can only come from someone who has never read the Gospels, which tell us the story and the teachings of Jesus life, or the epistles, which are the letters of those who established the church. Because if you do, it is clear that God's love for us is all the same, that our created value is all the same, but yet he calls from the crowd his disciples. And yet he calls from the disciples his apostles. And yet he calls from the apostles his 12. And yet he calls from the 12 Peter, and that it is clear that Jesus has distinct roles in mind and distinct measures of authority in mind, and that perhaps the barrier to your greatness is not acknowledging that there are different measures and that there are different realms of authority and different capacities. If I cannot acknowledge someone else's greatness, how can God trust me with a level of greatness when I have the potential then to treat it as common, to treat the authority that he gives me as same place and common measure as everyone else around me? If there is greatness on the inside of you, if there is fruitfulness on the inside of you, there must be distinction among us. There must be different roles and places and realms of authority that he has called us into. And he calls Peter into a role and says, I am placing you as chief among my apostles. And Jesus ascends into heaven and the disciples gather in the upper room. And I want you to look at these two passages of scripture that happen at the very beginning of the book of Acts. One is Acts 1 and 15. It says, and in those days, Peter stood up. Say, stood up. Among the brothers and the sisters. And the number of people who were together was about 120. And he said, and Peter goes on to talk. Peter loves to talk. And then Acts 2, starting in verse 14, it says, and Peter stood up. Say, stood up. I believe something is getting ready to stand up in you today. With the 11, and he raised his voice, proclaiming to them, fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words. And Peter goes on to deliver a message about who Jesus is and what it means for his death, his burial, and he begins to declare the resurrection of Christ and the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you read until later in the verse, in verse 43, it says, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Peter just found something in himself because he just stepped into a new season of his fruitfulness. He stood up and he began to proclaim among them. And when he stood up and he began to proclaim among them in a new role, in a new fashion, empowered by the Holy Spirit, stepping into a season he has never been in before, he found out that there was fruit in this part of his future that he could have never imagined. In one message, 3,000 are added to them that day. But to understand how Peter got here, we have to look back just a few weeks prior to this in the book of John. If you look at the very end of John, in John chapter 21, John chapter 21 tells us of what's happening to Peter in the midst of the in-between. See, the thing about fruit is it goes through seasons. And it's difficult sometimes to tell what season I'm in. Am I in a planting season? Am I in a dormant season? Am I in a waiting season? Am I in a sprouting season? Am I in a harvesting season? And if you don't know what season you're in, it's easy to get lost in the midst of the unknown of the season. And Peter finds himself in a season where he's been called by Jesus. It's been declared over him that you are the rock on which I will build my church. But Jesus has been buried and has not yet revealed himself. Peter has not yet been launched into his new season, and he's just somewhere in the in between. And in John 21, starting in verse 1, it says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples. By the Sea of Tiberias, he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of the disciples were all together. 'I'm going fishing,' Simon Peter said to them. 'We're coming with you then,' they told him. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing." Peter is in his in-between, and while he's in his in-between, waiting for Jesus to return or wondering if he will return in his unknown season, Peter decides to go fishing. Why does it matter that Peter decided to go fishing? If you know the story of Peter, you know that before Jesus called him to be a disciple and before Jesus appointed him to be an apostle, Peter's place was that he was a fisherman. Previously to this, in a former life, his place of fruitfulness was found in fishing. And when Peter doesn't know what to do, even though he's been told what his future is, instead of moving forward, he decides to go back to his past. He moves back to the last thing that he knew. He moves backward to the last place he was fruitful. He decides to look back. Can I tell you that the pull of your past is an incredible enemy to the fruitfulness of your future? There is something about the pull of what is familiar that continually desires to draw me back to something that I used to know, that desires to continually draw me back to a place that I used to find comfort, that desires to continually draw me back to a place where I used to know his voice, to a place where I used to succeed, to a place where there is a pull of something familiar that will inhibit you from moving forward into your place of fruitfulness. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a friend, and they were telling me the story about when they met their spouse. And this friend comes from a home environment growing up that was filled with conflict, filled with chaos, filled with lots of unhealthy relational examples in their growing up years. And they said to me, "When I met my spouse, I knew there was something good in it. But what was good in it was so unfamiliar to me that what was right about it felt uncomfortable to me. The pull of the familiarity of chaos in my life was so strong that I kept trying to sabotage this relationship, because even though I knew that this was my future, and even though I could see that there was goodness and there was fruitfulness here, what was familiar to me were things that were in my past, things that were chaotic, things that were dysfunctional, things that were unhealthy. And so the pull to feel the comfort of familiarity was so strong that I kept trying to create dysfunction in this relationship. Thankfully, they had healthy, godly voices in their life that said, 'You need to go find a godly, trained professional to help you unwind what it is about that chaos that pulls you back, because your future is not in the past. Your future is not in that chaos. Your future is not in what you've come from. Your future is in the health of this relationship. Your future is in the fruitfulness that God has planned for you. Your future is in the moving forward into something healthier, into something sustainable, into something that will flourish and prosper for the days ahead." But that pull to go back is so strong. It's like a bungee cord tied to what I used to know. And I want to go forward, but I know this. I know what this looks like. I know what it looks like to stand on a boat and throw the nets to the other side. I don't know what it looks like for me to stand up in front of thousands and declare your name. I know how to picture this thing. I know how to picture what my past looked like, but I don't know how to picture what my future is going to look like yet. I've never seen it with my own eyes. I've never remembered that thing that I've never yet stood in. I'm believing that God is going to give you a vision for the future of fruitfulness that He wants to walk you into. I know what the past tastes like. I know what that fruit tastes like. I know what that fruit is on the inside of me. I know how to find that kind of fruit. I know how to go back to that kind of fruit. The children of Israel, though they had walked out of bondage and walked into freedom, told Moses, at least when we were back in Egypt, we have food to eat. I know what that tastes like. It might be my past and it might be bondage, but I know what that tastes like. I'm believing that this year God's going to give you a taste for your future fruit, that you're going to get tired of eating yesterday's fruit, that you're going to get tired of feeding on yesterday's manna, and that something on the inside of you is going to start to hunger and to thirst for something in your future, that there's something in your tomorrow that you would grow a taste for future fruit in your life. I know what it feels like to be in my past. I know what joy feels like in my past. And I know what overcoming feels like in my past. And I know, at least I know, the sorrows of yesterday. I don't know what my tomorrow looks like. I don't know what it tastes like. And I don't know what it feels like. Will I feel successful in my tomorrow? Will I feel strong in my tomorrow? Will I feel like I've overcome? Are there just more heartbreaks in my future? I don't know what it feels like to be in that. So my longing to go after that thing is difficult, because at least if I go back to what I know what's there. But I believe God's going to put in you a desire and a longing for the future that He has for you, that breaks the comfort of going back and makes you so uncomfortable in your right here and in your right now that you have to go forward, that you have to move forward, that something in you starts stirring and saying, I can't go to the past anymore. I can't look back to where I came from anymore, because there's fruitfulness in my future that I have to go after. There's fruitfulness in my tomorrow that I have to go after. There's something in my future that needs me. There's something in my future that requires me. There's something in my future that's drawing me to show up. That God has plans for me, and they're not in my yesterday, they're in my tomorrow. That God has fruitfulness for me, and it's not in my yesterday, it's in my tomorrow. That there's something growing on the inside of me, that there are some seeds that have been planted on the inside of me, and it looks like they've been laying dormant, but their fruitfulness is in my future. I'm believing that seeds that you have planted are harvesting in your future, that things that you have watered are harvesting in your future, that tears that you have cried are turning back to you in a harvest in your future, that prayers that you have prayed have gone up to heaven like incense, and they're getting ready to return to you in your future. Your best days are behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. Your days of fruitfulness are behind you. Your days of fruitfulness are ahead of you. Your days of strength are behind you. Your days of strength are ahead of you. There is fruitfulness in your future. There is fruitfulness coming in your tomorrow. Look ahead. Get your eyes fixed on what God is doing in this year. Get your eyes fixed on the promise He has spoken to you. Get your heart moving on the thing He has spoken to you. I declare over your life that faith is rising up on the inside of you. Faith that says that no eye has seen and no ear has heard what the promises of God are over. my life. Faith that says his word over me is yes and amen. Faith that says there is something that's getting ready to break out in my life in a fresh and in a powerful way. I'm telling you, there's more for you and your future than what there is behind you. There is fruitfulness in your future. Stand up. Look straight ahead. Be pulled back to yesterday. Isaiah 43 and 18 says, do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now, do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Look and see what he is about to do. Philippians 3:13-14, it says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I reach forward to what is ahead. I pursue my goal, the prized promise by God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. I have one word for you today. Your best days are not behind you, they are ahead of you. Your flourishing is not behind you, it is ahead of you. Your strength is not behind you, it is ahead of you. Your health is not behind you, it is ahead of you. Our best days at a church, as good as they were, are not behind us, they are ahead of us. Our flourishing is in our future. Our fruitfulness is in our future. Our strength is in our future. Our health is in our future. Your fruitfulness is in your future. Our fruitfulness is in our future. I see a church of everyday believers doing everyday miracles, succeeding in everyday places, walking around declaring the name of Jesus everywhere they go. I see them standing in everyday health. I see them walking in everyday strength with everyday faith that says, if God be for me, who can be against me? I see a tenacious people that say, if God said that's what it is, then I put my eyes not on things behind, but on things ahead. And I have determined to go after it, to run after the prize, and to believe in the goal that is mine in Christ Jesus. Your fruitfulness is in your future. Come on, if you believe it, will you lift your hands? Will you raise your voice? Will you say, God, I believe that my fruitfulness is ahead of me, that my fruitfulness is in my future. I want to pray for two groups of people before we leave. I'm going to pray for them both at the same time, because the pull to your past is the greatest enemy to the fruitfulness of your future. And there's one group of people who, even as I say it, you believe God has done such great things in your yesterday that you believe that your greatest days are behind you. And I want to pray for you for a renewed faith and a renewed vision that there is fruitfulness in your future. And the second group of people is that the comfort and the familiarity for you of the past is so strong that you feel yourself continually yanked back to that thing, pulled back to that place. You feel like, I set my eyes on what's ahead, but I find myself longing for Egypt, longing for what's behind me. I keep going back to the boat. Because the lie is, maybe I'm just good at what I used to do. Maybe I would be feeling more successful if I just did what I used to do. But did you see what it said? It said Peter caught nothing. He's a fisherman. He knows how to do this, but his season is not to be a fisherman anymore. God has a new fruitfulness for him. There is a new fruitfulness in his future. There is a new thing for him to go after. There is a new something for you. You were an incredible parent when you raised those babies, but your future is in a future fruitfulness. It's not your season to be raising babies anymore, and you did it so well, but there's something new for you now. You did an incredible job when you were a student and you got straight A's and they recognized you with all of your accolades, but your fruitfulness is not in being a student. Some of you don't need to sign up for a new degree. That's not where your fruitfulness is in this season. Your fruitfulness is in your future. And if you go back, you'll find out I can't succeed at the thing I used to be good at because my fruitfulness isn't there anymore. When Peter stood up and did the thing that was in him for this season, it says he spoke. He couldn't catch any fish on the boat 3 weeks ago. But today, he stood up and he spoke. And 3,000, because God told him, I'm making you a fisher of men now. And when he stood up in the season that he's supposed to be in, when he stood up in the place that he's supposed to be in, when he stopped trying to go back to the thing he used to be good at, you have to cut the cord with the thing that feels familiar and cut the cord with the thing you think you're supposed to be good at and go after the thing that your fruitfulness is in this season. If that's you and you say, I think my best days are behind me and I want my faith to be stirred, or if you say the pull of yesterday keeps drawing me backwards, just raise your hands right where you are. I want to pray over you today. Jesus, 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 Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I just want to hear properly. I'm going to pray over you. Clinton's going to sing. And while he sings, if your hands are raised as a symbolic prophetic act, I want you to just walk down front and lay something metaphorically on the altar. It's a story in the Old Testament. Elisha calls Elijah, who would be his protege. And when he calls him, he tells him, kill the ox and burn your plow. It's a statement that I am not going back to that thing anymore, but I'm moving forward into what God has for me. I'm gonna pray for you, and then laying that thing down is gonna be your declaration that I'm leaving it here and I'm not going back. I'm moving forward into what God has for me. All right, if that's your prayer, hands in the air. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God that is faithful in every season. I thank you that you have fruitfulness over every life in this room. I thank you that you have called them, you have assigned them, you have appointed them for this time and this season. God, we celebrate, we acknowledge, and we're grateful for past seasons of fruitfulness, but we say we don't want to live on yesterday's fruit. We want to go after what you have for our today and what you have for our tomorrow. So I declare over them that you would step into the season of your fruitfulness for today. I declare to your faith to be stirred. I declare to your faith to stand up and to rise up. Your best days aren't behind you. God has more yet in store for you and your tomorrow. And I speak over you that the pull to the familiarity of yesterday is being broken. That the pull to what you once were good at is being broken. That the pull to your yesterday is being broken. And that you would run after your tomorrow, that you would go after it with all of your strength, that you would go after it with all of your heart, that you would go after it with all of your might, that you are moving forward in Christ, that you are moving forward in Christ. I speak over you that your future is full of fruitfulness, that your fruitfulness is in your future. I speak that your eyes eyes are focused, that your feet are steady, that you wouldn't look to the right or to the left, but that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter with each step that you take. Your path is becoming clearer with each step that you take. Your path is becoming more and more apparent to you, that his wind would be beneath you, that his strength would encourage you. I speak that today is a line in the sand over your life, that you're not going back, but you're just going forward.